Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 10. I'll be reading out of the King James Bible today, actually the 1611 King James Bible, which it's the same. I like to do this every now and then because people have it, and I believed it at one time. I went to a debate that the Free Will Baptist, which is what we used to be belonging to, at their national meeting with the esteemed Dr. So-and-so. I know the guy. And there was going to be a King James-only debate. Now, it was kind of interesting because there was only one guy there. Okay? No one else was invited to speak on behalf of the other opinion. So basically, the esteemed Dr. So-and-so, who was Professor Emeritus of Greek Studies at the college, he was the expert on Greek. He was the expert on everything. So they were just going to believe whatever the guy told everybody to believe. And it's very interesting that while the Bible clearly teaches that Christ, upon his death on the cross, went to the heart of the earth, the lower parts of the world, to preach to those spirits in prison, to set the captives free. Abraham's bosom was released then. The Bible clearly teaches that. He says, upon my further review of the original Greek language, I no longer believe that. He changed his doctrine because he's looking at the Greek and said, I think it says something else. So that's what you're dealing with. All the doctrines now that we've all stood and believed and all this time now, they're going out the door, either because of new prophecies, new revelations from God, or we've examined the Greek further, we have a better understanding of it than those poor King James translators did, and so on and so on. But anyway, he debated himself, I guess, and he said, now if you believe in the King James, which version of the King James do you believe in? Do you believe in the 1611 version of the King James? Do you believe in the 1620-something version of the King James? Do you believe in the 1769 version of the King James? He listed all these different printing editions, and he said, the one we have now is not the one that they had in 1611. And I went, yeah, because at that time, my mind had been, I've been straightened out by Bible college, and I believed that, oh yeah, the King James, nothing. So I went along with it, and I saw the tears in the eyes of men who love this old book, and I just laughed at them. Boy, I was a long way from God back then. And God took a rod to me and chastened me and brought me back here. So I'm going to read the first four verses of Revelation 10 from this 1611 reprint. Follow along in your King James Bible. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. That's what it says, and I am just reasonably sure that every word that I just read here matches the same in the King James that you have now. We've covered this issue before. You can actually find this at Google Books, books.google.com. I can't remember the name of the document, but it was a study that the American Bible Society did back in the 1850s. Before this really was a debate, in the 1850s, the American Bible Society looked into the question of whether or not the King James Version that they were using then matched the original 1611. They studied it extensively, and they said, as far as the text is concerned, it is 100% the same. There are differences in spelling, orthography, how the words looked. The font used in the original 1611 printing was sort of more of a Germanic font, but it's still the same words. This is what leads some people. They say, that's old English. You can't even read it. It's not the same English. And I had a guy tell me that he's just lying through his teeth. If he'd ever read an original 1611 King James Bible, he would have known that it was the same language as we're using now. But he said, Mike, it's Middle English. It's not even the same. You know what he'd done? He had heard somebody else. He read that in a book or heard somebody else tell him that. And that's what's in most people's minds. The agents are out there disseminating all this false information about the King James Bible, and none of it's true. They're trying to convince you that the one that you have has been significantly altered since 1611. And I'm sitting here telling you, I've read this. I used to just sit and read this thing over and over again. It's the same Bible. A few words were misprints, like in one of the Psalms it says God and it says good and it should have been God, or vice versa. And you can see how easy it is to misprint that, because they're taking these letters one by one. They're reading from a page, a handwritten note, taking the letters one by one backwards and then printing a page. So mistakes were made in the original printing. But the American Bible Society concluded somewhere around 1850, that the Bible that we have now in the King James, the one they had in 1850, which this is the same one, is not different than the one that came out in 1611. It's the same word of God. 400 in almost 2 years, this Bible is the standard for everything. All right? Just throwing that in there just as a refresher course for you, because the people are going to throw all kinds of arguments against you, stuff that they read on the web, stuff that they watched a YouTube video about. They don't know. They're just parroting what they've been told to say about this Bible. All right, Revelation chapter 10, the seven thunders. Let's look at them purely from, and I made mention of this last week, how all the scholars are going, the seven thunders are this and the seven thunders are that. Hang on just a minute here. This is the only thing that I see in the book of Revelation that's sealed up, because it was specifically said, heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. So John did not write them, and they are currently sealed. What I'm going to give you, okay, what I'm just going to give you, I'm just going to go blah. This is what I think. It's a little theory that I've had for the last several years, okay? It's not authoritative. You are more than welcome to your own, so long as you find it in the Bible. And here's something that I'm going to say, and I'm going to stick with this one. And I'm going to show you that the thunders were actually the voice of God, and if God said it, it's here. It's written down somewhere in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. And I'm going to show you that. John didn't write it. So it has to be something that John did not write, but it's in this book. I believe what the prophet said, Amos, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret to his servants, the prophets. And all the secrets are here in the scriptures. If God said it, somebody wrote it down. And one of these days he's going to unseal it, and we're going to go, whoa, there it is right there. Okay. You know, I believe the day and the hour are in this book. I don't know where they are. I don't think I have to use mathematical formulas and, oh, you know, according to the Jewish calendar, this. And I don't believe that junk. I believe that one of these days, here's what I believe, okay, as it was in the days of Noah, John chapter 16, study it out. Jesus said that when the Comforter comes, he's going to show you things to come. The things that the Father hath given me, the Comforter is going to show you what those things are. And he said, all things are given to me in my hand, which means the day and the hour that Jesus, when he was talking to Matthew 24, he did not know. In Revelation 5 and 6, we know that God delivers all things into his hand. And I believe the Spirit is going to reveal to God's real people, not the fake phony ones, but the real ones, because we're children of the day, and that day should not overtake us as a thief. I believe we're going to know prior to our translation when it's going to happen. It may only be 7 days like it was in the days of Noah. Okay? On the day that Elijah went up into heaven, Elijah knew it, Elisha knew it, and 50 of the sons of the prophets knew it. They all knew. God doesn't do anything, but he reveals first. then he does. That's how God works. God's not a mystery God. Anyway, Revelation 10, verse 3, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, I want you to think about the symbolism of the number seven. We just did this Watchman video broadcast, about four or five episodes of this, teaching you what the number seven meant. It means perfection, completion. It is totally associated with the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God, Jesus himself. If you look at the description in early on here in the book of Revelation, he has seven eyes, okay? These seven golden candlesticks, let's see here, which are the seven spirits of God, Isaiah chapter 11, the Psalm 12, 490th chapter of the Bible, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so I believe that the significance of the number seven reveals something about the written word of God, or it is related to God himself. So that's the first thing that leads me to the idea that the thunders, when they uttered their voices, that this in fact was the voice of God himself. And I want you to notice that here is the cry from the mighty angel, and then it's almost like a response of the seven thunders. He cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. So we have a cry, and then we have a response. I believe this is Jesus. I believe this is God and his voice. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, John was going, okay. And he was about to write, and he heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And so John went, okay. And it's almost like we would read that and we go, why didn't he write it? I want to know what those are. They'll be unsealed in time. At the unsealing event, those things are going to be known. Just like in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel sealed up. It's 27th book of the Old Testament. Revelation 27th book of the New Testament. The things in Daniel are sealed up. And it's going to be known what they are and how they're going to take place and what's going to happen when the unsealing takes place. If anybody tells you, hey, I remember back in the 90s, Jack Van Impe had a video out called Daniel Unsealed. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I just read something. There's a Stan Johnson of the Club O' Prophecy. Has a speaker out or a book or a video or something like that from some guy who studied the Hebrew language for the last 12 years, and he is an expert on the Hebrew language, and Hebrew language has secret things in it. What does that sound like to you? This actually, the secret things in the book of in the Hebrew language unseal the book of Daniel. That's a setup. That's a setup. Don't believe that. Do not believe that one. All right. Only Christ can unseal it. Only he can. Anyway, and besides that, if you're the fool who's going to pay $49.95 for that video, anyway, all right, let's look at what the thunders are. Why was it thunders? It wasn't angel voices. It wasn't birds chirping. It was thunders. Let's look at the significance of this. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. All right, turn there. 1 Samuel 2:10, and the Bible says, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. So it says, number one, that the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. All right? Out of heaven he shall thunder upon them. Now remember, this is interesting, because when the lion roared, we studied this last week, that the Lord roars and so on, and the Lord had spoken unto me like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey. This was like a roar notifying his enemies, you're dead, you're done. We're doing this right now. It's over for you. And so that kind of matches there. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. So seven thunders upon the enemies of God. And then following after this, you have the seven vials of wrath. And so in a way, to me, these seven thunders are just announcing the coming of the wrath of Almighty God. It says, the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength to his king, which would be Jesus, and exalt the horn of his anointed. I used to struggle with the idea of what a horn represented. And, you know, the Bible talks about he pushed them with his horn. It's his power. It's his strength. He has the strength of unicorns. It's an influence. It's an irresistible force that cannot be stopped. How do animals in the wild use their horns? Bulls, deer, goats, things like that. How do they, jackalopes? Some of you will get that. How do they use their horns? They use them as an aggressive measure to enforce their way and impose their will. And so this is what God is saying. I'm going to exalt the horn of his anointed. Christ is now going to have his force and his power upon the earth. This is what this is in preparation for. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. The Bible says, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. Think of the Philistines now, the five lords, the group that comes out of the pit. And the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. In other words, they were fitted together, and when the Lord thundered, it discomfited them. It scattered them, just like up here in 1 Samuel 2. He roared, and his adversaries were broken to pieces. The Lord thundered with a great thunder that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. So here again, we have 1 Samuel 2:10, 1 Samuel 7:10, both saying that the thundering is the voice of God. 2 Samuel 22:14, here is another. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. There it is. I mean, right there in this one place, 2 Samuel 22:14. Actually, if I remember right, 2 Samuel 22 is a companion chapter to Psalm 18, I think it is. I'm not sure, but anyway, I think they're identical. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. That's the Bible's way of telling you. It's defining what a thunder is. It's not two separate events. The Lord thundered from heaven, and then after that, the Most High uttered his voice. No, it's telling you that the Most High uttered his voice when he thundered from heaven. So this kind of matches with the theme of the number seven. And then if you can just sort of see this scenario of Christ, the mighty angel, and he roars, and then seven thunders utter their voices. In other words, Dad, I hear you, son. Rawr. Okay, boom, 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 boom. All right? So just kind of think about that. Job chapter 37. Turn there in your Bible, Job 37, verse 4. The Bible says, after it, a voice roareth. Wow. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. This is God again. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency. A thunder. And the thunders uttered their voices. All right? So here we find the exact same language. And again, this is the beauty, the absolute beauty and the simplicity of Christ, in that if you just believe that God took three unknown languages to you, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, had one interpret them so that You don't have a schism in the Bible where, well, it says stone here and it says stone in the Old Testament, but we know that that was two different things because it's two different languages. No. God put it all together. So if you see a stone here in the New Testament, you see a stone in the Old Testament, you get it. You see a lamb here, you see a lamb here, you have understanding. You see the types and the symbols and the shadows given to you in the Old Testament. You see them in the New Testament, you're joining them together by way of the language, all right? I would never say, look, here in the New Testament, it says thunder, Well, back here in the Old Testament, it says rust. Okay? That would be stupid. You'd never make that connection. They don't have a connection. Well, okay, thunder, and then rain comes down. 6 months later, you have rust. But that's the Bible's just linking these things together. So he said again here, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency. And then back here in Revelation, the thunders uttered their voices. That's how one interpretation of the Bible, God's interpretation, is helping you study the Bible. And so, again, I strongly encourage you, get the Bible software that we had written up for us. I had not shared her name. I'll just say her first name is Donna. And she has done a tremendous job. She's still working on it. She's still upgrading it. She's got it for Windows. She's got it for Mac now. She's got it for Linux. And now she's working on the Android app. And I just got an Android phone. It's an Android phone. It's about this big, okay? They call it a phablet, a phone tablet. And I can't wait for the Android version of this. And it shouldn't be too hard for her to write because Android is based on Linux. And she's writing this Android app and put it on the marketplace, download it as an APK package, install it on your Android phone, and you got the software free of charge on your phone, and you can do the studies and the searches. I love it. So this is how I study and put these things together. Let's see here. Oh, in verse 5, I wasn't done. That was just the end of that page. After it, Job 37:4, after it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency. He will not stay them when his voice is heard. Verse 5, God thundereth marvelously with his voice. There it is. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. Boy, isn't that the truth. So God thundereth marvelously with his voice. It's the voice of God. I absolutely believe it. I'm not done. Job 40, verse 9. Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? And you know, it's really interesting because all the pagan civilizations in the earth, the anthropologists who study all these ancient cultures, they say, yes, these ancient cultures had beliefs that when they heard thunder in the sky, that was the voice of the gods talking to them and angry with them. And so they just kind of laughed it off. But here we have the reality of it, and that God thunders with his, when he speaks, it sounds like thunder. Nobody else in the world has a voice like him. Some of you have listened to Adrian Rogers. Adrian Rogers had an amazing voice. I would love to have his voice, all right? Paul Harvey, American news commentator. Paul Harvey had an exceptional voice. And when it was loud, it was bombastic and thundering, okay? But nobody's got a voice like God. My sheep know my voice. They know what it sounds like. They study the scriptures and they know when this thunder happens. They know who that is. All right? Psalm 18:13. And here it is. This is a companion now to 1 Samuel 22, I think. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hail, stones, and coals of fire. Oh, let's see here. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. The third part of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. There's a connection here. This is the first trumpet, as it sounds. Psalm 29:3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Again, just one verse after another that's telling you. And again, I go back to this, I mentioned this last week, this Tim LaHaye Bible commentary that my wife got me. That when I read it, I went, seven thunders of the seven stages of the Roman Empire. Where do you get that? Why? Instead of the scholars studying all these volumes of books here. Oh, look at this book here. oh, I found this ancient book, and oh, it's got seven stages of the Roman Empire in it. Ooh, ah, I'm smart. I can write a commentary now. Why didn't they just read the scriptures? Why didn't they just read the Bible and they'd go, well, I'll be. That looks like the seven thunders are God's voice. And I got a guy in mind. I love him to death. He's a good friend of our ministry, and I'd love him and his family. He's an old country boy from down Arkansas, and he said, you know, Brother Mike, I was reading here the other day, and he said, I was reading this, and he said, you know what, to me it looked like something back over here I was reading, and he had it all circled and underlined and everything like that. He said, I just think there's a connection between those two. What do you think? And I said, man, you're dead on. You are absolutely dead on. You know what it was? He's just an old country boy that believed the King James Bible. That's all it was. And God had given him a wisdom that far exceeded. And Tim LaHaye is a multimillionaire. He is a multimillionaire because of the books he's written and the fame that he's gotten. The movies have been, shoot, there's a lot of money in that. I mean, this guy's wealthy. He's a scholar, and everybody bought into it. Here's an old country boy down in Arkansas just comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. He said, you know, and you know what? God has given that man wisdom that far excels that of the scholars and the elite. God will give you that too. If you'll just believe what you read and then decide to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And God has put it in my heart. I mean, I believe it came from God. You know, God has led us along. God said, do the Watchman broadcast. So I started doing it. God said, why don't you do a little Bible study midweek? So here we are. God said, why don't you start a little mail out? Start mailing your stuff out. So, I mean, I did. And God said, here, do this, Pastor Michael. Stream your services. God's led us. And then God said, why don't you give them some software, Mike? I got a lady I'll use. And God has put all this thing together, and he's making it very, very simple for us. If we'll just believe and study this old book, God, it's amazing. I love God. You can't beat him, all right? Psalm 77, verse 18. The Bible says, the voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Lightnings. Now, think about somebody in the Bible that's linked with lightning. You catching this here? We've had I like this. I just now thought of this. We've had the fifth angel sound, and a star fell from heaven. I believe that's Lucifer. How thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Jesus says, I saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning. So we see it here, and then I mean, this is just simple stuff. If you are in a situation where you see and hear lightning and thunder at the exact same time and you live through it, you're blessed, okay? But normally we see and I don't know if you do this, we do this, we see the thunder, we go one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi. If it hits four, if we hear the thunder at four Mississippi, then we figure it's about 4 miles away. That's just kind of what we've taught. I don't know how accurate it is, but that's what we do. But you hear the thunder after you see the lightning. And so I don't know if that means anything here, but I just know that the voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. And that's another curious thing about thunder. Is that most often when we hear thunder, we know that it is from the heaven, but we don't ever see the source of it. That's because it's from an invisible God. So, and that's all of those things play into how it is that we're supposed to think and believe. And when this happened, the earth trembled and shook. Now that right there would be an interesting study to do. Just take time to study through the Bible, the earth trembling. The Bible actually says the earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunkard. On its axis, it's going to go, woo, 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 something like that. I don't know. Anyway, the earth trembled and shook. Something's going to shake the entire earth, and it's going to be at the voice of thy thunder. Psalm 81:7, thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. So here we have a call and a response. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. In other words, you heard the voice, but you did not see the source. You know it came from the heaven, but you did not see the source. And he said, I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Again, God's voice. Psalm 104, verse 7. At thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. Here again, God thunders and the enemy scatters. They cannot handle that. This, and I'll be honest with you, some people don't like this, and I've been criticized by some well-meaning people, and I don't criticize you back for it. It's just, you're not used to it. I'm learning to try to take care of my voice more, but I believe that at times when I'm preaching, a loud voice is required for the emphasis, for whatever it is. I don't believe preaching is, let's read from the book of Revelation, chapter 10, shall we? I don't mind having, you know, just talking one-on-one and directly with people. Sometimes when you're preaching, that's got to be thundered out. That's got to be heard. That's the emphasis. God designed us to where we are affected by the tone of someone's voice. Definitely when we hear thunder, I mean, we could be sitting in our house and I'll hear something and I'll look at Lisa and I'll say, was that thunder? I mean, it gets our attention. Is that thunder? We got a storm coming. It's springtime. We're fixing to get them spring rains and them thunderstorms. And that's when tornadoes come in. We got to pay attention to it. And so anyway, it's at verse, what I was getting at, Psalm 104, verse 7, at thy rebuke they fled. When people hear thunder, they go, was that thunder? And it causes an alarm in them. And the enemies know that when they hear the thunder, they've had it. At thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. Whew. Well, every now and then, you want to do some battles, some spiritual warfare, let God thunder. They'll run. Now, watch this now. Get ready for this one. John 12, 28. I'll wait a minute while you turn there. All right, John 12, 28. Look at what Jesus said. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Hang on to this now. That was his first coming. And God said, I've glorified it now. I'm going to glorify it again. When? Second coming, his appearing. What have we been dealing with in Revelation 10? His appearing. So now, Jesus asked, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. In other words, there were people around him. And when God said, 1, 2, 3, 4, I've never counted this before. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Interesting. I both glorified it and will glorify it again. When God said that, there were people going, is that thunder? What was that? And then others said an angel spoke to him. And so this is absolutely the voice of God speaking. Here again, look at the deal here. Here's Jesus roaring, Father, glorify thy name, and God thundering back in response. And that's what you see right here in Revelation 10, 3 and 4. Beautiful. It's right there in front of us. And then Revelation 4, 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. All right? So coming out of the throne, lightnings and thunderings and voices. So they all work together here. And again, I absolutely believe that these seven thunders were not just random events. They were not just noises. This was the very voice of God being heard in response, being given in response to his son. Now, that concludes our study today. God bless you. I said I was going to give you my little theory, all right? Let me just kind of throw some things at you. And again, I'm going to assert this as an absolute. If God said it, it's written here. If God said it, it's right here. It's in this book somewhere. I do not believe in a mystery doctrine that says not everything that God says is in the Bible. That's a setup. It's a lie. It's a lie, and it's to set you up to get you away from what's in the Bible. The devil did it in the Garden of Eden, for God doth know. In other words, God has a secret doctrine that he didn't tell you. He did not reveal to you through his word. And so I'm going to give it to you. And I will tell you, just listen to me. Anybody telling you anything that's from God that they cannot verify or actually quote from this book, question it. Absolutely question it. All right? Just throw that in there. Let me read a couple verses very quickly. Psalm 78:2, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. God's not going to keep it hid. Matthew 13:34, all these things Jesus spake unto the multitudes in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And Jesus, of course, being the Word of God being written, Jesus is going to reveal the deep and secret things. He's going to open his mouth. He's going to do it in parables. And then he's going to teach you what the parable means so that you don't have to go running off some stupid thing. Well, that parable really means this. Well, Jesus tells you in the Bible what all the parables mean. All right? So it's my absolute firm idea that if God said it, it's going to be in the Bible. I have made a choice in my life and in my walk with the Lord. And I can tell you that God has consistently honored and blessed this choice, that I will not believe anything that someone says is from God without it coming from the Bible. I will not believe it. Latter-day prophets, dreamers of dreams, visionaries, people who go into trances and hear voices, and I don't believe that stuff. I had a guy said, Mike, hold still. I'm going to prophesy over you and your church. Oh, Shambhala Toya, Toyota Tito. And he said all these things that was going to happen, okay? And I was going, wow, I wonder if that's really going to happen. It didn't. So anyway, I just don't trust it. I don't buy into that stuff. And I've just made a choice, and I'm going to believe only what this book says. I'm telling you, get you a King James Bible, get the software, do whatever, however God has you study out, and you believe this saying over me, all right? Because what I'm fixing to tell you may not be true. So don't count on it. But I am going to read you something that God said that's recorded in the scriptures exactly 7 times. And John didn't write it. All right? Let me give you the script. I want you to write these down and then we'll go and read them. All right? Write these down. I'm waiting for you to get a pen, okay, or type it out. Matthew 3:17, Matthew 17:5, Mark 1:11, Mark 9:7, Luke 3:22, Luke 9:35, 2 Peter 1:17. Now let's go read them. Matthew 3:17, a low voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 17:5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud, I love that, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Mark 1:11, and there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Mark 9:7, then there was a cloud, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Luke 3:22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove. This is how God has wings. Psalm 91, go read that. like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Luke 9:35, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. 2 Peter 1:17. Voice blessing my heart. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And what's getting me, 7 times in the King James Bible, God said, he didn't just say, this is my boy, like I do with my kid. That's my boy, Matthew. Yeah, my boy got him a big old buck this year. He said, This is my beloved Son. I love my son. Me personally, I love my boys. Man, I love my boys. And not anything in the world I wouldn't do for those boys. Not anything. And for God to take that son and have him beaten and scourged and spit on and cursed and hit and nailed on a cross and laughed at and rejected by men. For me, that's a big thing for me. Whenever I see a man at the store, he's got him an old crew cut, and he's got him an old Navy hat, or he's got patches all over his jacket or whatever, and I can tell he's a former military. I walk up to him, shake his hand. Sir, you don't know me, but I want to thank you for your service to your country. These people that have given their sons and their daughters over to fight for our country. Westboro Baptist Church makes me mad. In my flesh, if you knew what my flesh wanted to do to those people, they have no honor for them picketing those boys that have come back in coffins. Those families gave over their sons to fight for their country. That's probably, as far as man is concerned, that's the highest honor that I think could be bestowed upon any human being on this planet. I don't care if you're king, president, whatever. A soldier boy coming back in a flag-draped coffin. That gets me, because that represents a sacrifice. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do so whatsoever I command you to do. And for God to take his beloved son and to do what he did and did it for me, I'd like to be able to shake God's hand one of these days and say, thank you for your service. And to Jesus, who now reigns and lives, Lord Jesus, thank you for what you did for your countrymen, for your people. That's honor. But 7 times in the scriptures, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved son, thou art my beloved son, over and over and over, 7 times in the scripture. And it just, when I started studying this out, it just really... I don't want to say that the Holy Ghost led me into this. I don't know that. Because, again, I assert to you that what was said is sealed. And so I'm telling you again, I don't know that this is it. I don't know that. And I'm definitely not going to try to get $25 out of you on a video for it, all right? But it was funny to me because... Here you have 2 places in Matthew, 2 places in Mark, 2 places in Luke, and not even 1 place in the book of John, the gospel writer. He did not write this. He did not tell this story anywhere in his gospel, in the 3 letters, neither in the book of Revelation. He does not write this phrase out, even though he was probably there. And so, and Peter even, rehashed it in 2 Peter 1. He said, I heard the voice. He said, this is my beloved son. And I want to give you one more verse today, Psalm 2, verse 7. Beautiful, beautiful passage of scripture. Listen to Psalm 2, 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. God promised that he would declare the decree, that he would make it out, he would put it out there. This is my beloved Son. This day have I begotten thee. So God promised that he would declare this decree. Is that what he's declaring here in Revelation 10, verses 3 and 4? Only God will tell in his time when the book is unsealed. All right? By the way, the word decree, I have this little note here. The word decree is mentioned 49 times in the King James Bible, 7 times 7. Anyway, bless your heart. It's been good to study the Word of God. I love God for what he's done in my life for me. I don't think I treat God right sometimes. I really don't. And for him to do for me and what he's done, has done, is doing today, right now, and what he will do, and I know in the future, God's got me. Okay? He's got me, and I love him. I just want to tell you publicly, I love God for what he's done for me. And I'm the least worthy of all people, well, except Paul. He was the worst sinner, so that kind of takes the pressure off me and you. But I love what God has done. He gave his only son, his beloved one. Watched him go through all that stuff because he was looking at me going, you're the one I'm doing this for. It's good stuff. God bless you. I love you. And pray for us while we're gone traveling, and pray that God will continue to bless and use this ministry. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.